So I've tried to figure out what would be the best way for us to share this information with everybody in the room, and I'm going to try this. What you see is a document that simply summarizes my thoughts, and it's not any kind of a finished document, but it's what I prepared for our conversation today. So if it's all right with the room, I simply would like to I want to read this, and as we go through it together, I would simply ask, I will pause at certain points and make sure that we have opportunity to ask questions and to have conversation. So that's my way forward, and I hope that people would bear with me. The reason that I choose this particular method is that I think the language, even though it's not going to be perfect in this draft, as it were, I think that it's just helpful to see in writing those thoughts that are governing, that are top of mind for me as we gather today. So, introduction, the following summary comments provide information related to Finlandia's fiscal year budget, which started on July 1st and takes us through June 30 of 2021. The summary intends to outline in broad terms the most important aspects and impacts. Many details beyond this summary require conversations that have yet to take place. Those conversations will begin in the coming days. So there we have the intention and a bit of introduction. Institutional context. Finlandia's future is not secure. It is not overstating the matter to say that we are fighting for our very life. The cumulative effects of downward enrollment, growing institutional debt, overdependence on fundraising for operations, and the more recent and continuing negative impacts of the pandemic leave Finlandia in a very precarious position. What we have done together already and will do together over the coming months fundamentally determines our chances for a viable future. A 20% reduction in operating expenses over the coming year must be implemented now, even as we just complete a difficult season of summer furloughs and pay cuts. Guiding values and priorities. The values and priorities considered through this budget process include our mission, a learning community dedicated to academic excellence and spiritual growth and service, our vision, to advance expansive learning that best prepares graduates for the 21st century workplace and world, job preservation, financial need, and strategic commitments. Any questions or comments at this point?
Can you elaborate on job preservation?
So for us, Mariah, that simply meant that as we went through this process, it was the highest priority to make sure that that people did not lose their jobs. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. And thank you for the question. Key reduction totals. To the extent possible, decisions are made to minimize negative impact on academic quality and student experience during the coming academic year. Secondly, decisions are made that best ensure our investments in enrollment growth are given every opportunity to yield positive results in fall 2021. Overall reductions to payroll expenses include cuts ranging from 5 to 15%. Those earning more will receive the larger cuts. The current year's employer contribution to Finlandia's 403b retirement plan, which is 4%, will be eliminated for this year. These three figures provide the largest categories of reductions. Program support, a total of 870,000, payroll reduction of $500,000, and employer retirement contribution, that is Finlandia's contribution, that totals 220,000 for this fiscal year. Questions related to this section?
I have a question. Reduction to payroll expenses, 5 to 15%, could you elaborate a little bit more the way it's written? Of course, when it works on percentage, those earning more would receive higher cuts. But I think that making sure that everyone understands to the percentage structure breakdown would give more clarification, I think, to everybody.
Sure. Gary, I trust you're in the room.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have the specifics in front of me, Gary. I'm trying to determine, Denise, how many levels can be shared in this venue, and what information still requires conversations that have yet to take place.
Well, I think that then just making sure that everyone understands that those percentages are also going to be, you know, those of us who are making more money are going to take a larger cut than those people who are making less money too. That the percentage we're going to take is larger as well. You know, I just want to make sure that it's clarified there with how it's written.
Yeah. So I think what I can share is that certainly my salary is in the 15% range. Members of my team are in the 15% range, and then the bands with which we planned go from there.
That was enough, Philip. I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that, because I understood that, but I wasn't sure the way it was written that everyone.
Okay.
Should.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions or comments?
Can I make a comment? I'm not even sure I have it articulated in my brain. Can you hear me? It says my connection's unstable.
Yep.
Turned off my video. Can you hear me? Okay. So these are just my comments. As I think, people who have been at Finlandia, and I talked about this at a Plan 2024 meeting, people have been at Finlandia for, let's say, 20 years. There is people who have been at Finlandia for 10 years even, who are still, you know, maybe in the middle 30s as far as salary goes. Many of these people have gone 9 and 10 years with zero salary increase and a cut in their retirement. And you may have all of this in your structuring. I'm not saying that you don't. But I think it has to be really carefully considered that in this Plan 2024 meeting I was in, you talked about bringing new people in at fair salary scales. So we may have somebody brand new on campus who's making, say, $55,000, and somebody who's been there for 10 to 15 years who maybe is making $35,000. And hasn't had a salary increase and has taken already a 4% retirement cut. You know, what is the burden that we place on our very loyal and valuable staff, and how are they being protected in not being put into a place where they can't even afford, you know, they're going to be qualified for Medicaid or, WIC program as a full-time working professional at Finlandia. I just really want you to think carefully about those people. And the salary ranges, and people have been here for a long period of time, and what they're making, and some of the new staff that you yourself said are being brought in at fair wages so that we recruit a talented pool. And I'm saying all of this is important. I'm not saying we should go one way or the other, but I just really want that to be part of the conversation.
Thank you, Cindy. Other comments?
Do you have a breakdown of how that program support, I mean, what that is, program support?
Yes, we do, Mark, and I think, again, because program support has implications for individual conversations that have yet to take place, it's difficult to give significant details for that, but certainly we can say that given the number that we've achieved, it has impacted everybody. You know, there wasn't a program that wasn't reviewed. There wasn't a supplies another. There wasn't a, there weren't personnel issues that were left unturned. So, I can say that much, Mark. I don't know that that's going to be helpful for today, but I did want all of us to understand what the number was. And there are many in the room that have participated in, you know, achieving these cuts. And yet I also realize that, you know, I'm not going to be able to satisfy all of the questions in this particular conversation because other conversations need to occur that are either one-on-one or small groups.
This is Freddie. If I might interject, program support is not just academic program support. This is global definition of program. So for those who may be thinking more narrowly, no, this is broader. So it's not just academics and student affairs. Athletics, everybody's pretty much rolled into this.
So a lot of us have tuned in today hoping to find out what the cuts will be so we can start, you know, trying to account for the impact that this is going to have on us and our families. If we don't have those numbers today, is there a timeline about when we will receive them?
Yeah, thank you, Carolyn. Those, maybe Karen, I should ask for a more precise sense from you. They begin in earnest, Carolyn, as soon as this conversation ends. And one of the reasons that we wanted to make sure this conversation happened today is to give all of us ample opportunity to plan for the impact, because that has been a priority, Carolyn. So I think for Carolyn, you are faculty. I think that particular bunch is going to have a certain time frame. All of it's going to happen as quickly as we possibly can. For those who are staff, it's going to be another strategy, but you know, it's going to take a different pace perhaps, or a different method. Carolyn, I, you know, the commitment that I would make to you today is that a week from now, you are going to know, you will be contacted. I mean, we will have those conversations and you will know.
If I can add just a bit more, you know, I heard you say today that the retirement contribution will be eliminated for this year.
Right.
Although the document just says eliminated, I think it's really crucial as the information comes to us that there be timeline commitments on it. And I'm not fully aware of all the cuts that are coming. Just today we found out about the retirement component. We've all been expecting a salary cut. You know, the faculty fully understand how perilous the university's position is, and that's a big part of why suggestions that the faculty council produced really focused on other sacrifice areas that were not program elimination, because preserving programs and course offerings and personnel is, I think, the only way this university is going to survive. There are a couple other, you know, areas that I know that faculty have essentially volunteered to sacrifice to this effort, which is, of course, our research funding for this year, a little bit of conference travel cash that we usually are able to call upon. And then we're also already aware, those of us who have research releases will not have research releases this year. There's already additional teaching duties that are being taken on. And I guess I think it's really important when those offer letters do finally come out that they, you know, provide language that says that sacrifice of the research release on this one-year emergency basis due to the COVID-19 budget crisis is appreciated, that it is a one-year situation. And then also to provide some language that can go in files for people as they face the tenure and promotion process going forward that suggests that there's awareness, right, of the impact that the loss of that research release would create on the types of portfolios that people are able to create. Because I think that failing to think in the long range here and to project ourselves into a future where faculty here can remain guild active would be to completely fall down upon our commitment to academic excellence here. I mean, having faculty who can be guild active, who can produce scholarship is a huge part of what underlies the idea of having a rigorous academic experience here that's difficult than what one can get at a community college or a diploma mill or even a large university where one might be taught by TAs instead of by actual faculty or experts in their fields.
Thank you. I've taken some notes, and those are really helpful comments. To clarify, there wasn't any intended omission. Actually, that second paragraph reads, the current year's employer contribution. So that was, I was trying to be clear that it's a one-year commitment.
Thank you.
Yep. Other comments or questions related to this section?
I think it'd be go ahead, Brad.
When do these cuts take effect?
So the current the plan that we have, and Karen, you can answer this. Why don't you answer that, Karen? I don't need to monopolize here. This has been discussed.
Yeah, again, the actual details will be released, soon. The urgency for the budget purposes will be in August. And we want to give people as much notice ahead of time as we can. I think it's important to recognize that many of the folks, the staff on this call, have another week of furlough next week. Staff over the summer beginning in April have taken between a total of 5 to 9 weeks of forfeiting 1 week of their wages. They've been able to get unemployment. The unemployment $600 bonus expires next Friday. So I'd like to, again, kudos and understanding to the folks that have walked this path already with us for these budget cuts, which definitely helped bring us to a positive spot for the end of the 2019-20 fiscal year. So again, supervisors will be reaching out to everyone in the next week or so with more detailed information.
Brad, we have made, so if I can piggyback on what Karen has shared, and Karen will correct me if I'm wrong on this. The intention, Brad, is to, that the impact on our paychecks will be seen on August 21st. And
so,
go ahead.
Sorry, this is Jason. So You mentioned that the retirement would be a 1 year currently, is the plan at least, that it would only be cut for a year. What about the, like the salary cuts? Are they being looked at as permanent going on, or is that something that's potentially a windowed cut?
Yeah, thank you, Jason. I want to be clear about that. So we're talking about this fiscal year's budget. So it's this fiscal year that all of this is relating to. Just this fiscal year. So everything we discuss today in the room is related to, you know, how we plan together to get from July 1, a couple of weeks ago, to June 30 of 2021. And so, yes, this is regarding this fiscal year's salary or payroll reductions.
Would it be possible for you to share the metrics that you're going to use to determine at what point these can be restored?
Yes, we can do that, Mark. Let me take that to, that's really a very helpful prompt for even next week. When we come back together, we can include that. I'm speaking for some of my team who would want to do that. In theory, we have that already, Mark, but in other words, we have a multi-year budget. So we know the impacts, the ripple effect, and what it requires for us to restore. But we can put that, we can arrange those data and that information in a way I think that could be really helpful for your question. So I'm going to ask my team to please take a note on that, and we can make sure that's provided. Thank you, Mark.
I would just like to say to everyone and to be considered for this impact, that in the 5 years that I've been here, I have noticed significantly how the faculty and administration relate to the kids here, and I think that's huge. I think that bond has grown over the 5 years that I've been here, and without the faculty that we have now, I worry about some of our, you know, faculty wanting to leave because of this. I hope not. But the relationship that they have with the students has just increased phenomenally since I've been here.
Agreed, Kelly. Thank you. I appreciate you would bring that to the room. And it's just great to have you share it. Thank you. Other comments or questions?
I had a question. So I'm not familiar with the budget, but what does program support encompass?
Every program budget on the campus, Judy, is in that number. So there isn't a program that at some level is outside of that. So it's everything academic, non-academic, curricular, co-curricular, extracurricular, auxiliary, all of those units that make up our institutional budget have been considered and make up that savings.
I'm trying to differentiate between the line item payroll as opposed to program support. So I'm just trying to understand, does program support so include payroll?
No, a better way to describe that might be that those are non-payroll expenses, and then we have payroll reductions. So those would be all the other operating expenses that the university incurs during the year. And it can be, you know, it can be travel, you know, for athletic teams or for faculty. It can be, you know, leased equipment. It can be office supplies, all those kinds of things. So maybe a better way to put that would be non-payroll and payroll.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And if I might, Judy, I might help. The extra work that faculty have accepted for this upcoming year, which led to a reduction in the use of adjuncts, those savings are in the program support bucket, not the payroll bucket. The payroll bucket is primarily just the salary adjustments coming forward, even though they're kind of related.
That's helpful. Thank you,
Patty. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I have a request, if that's okay.
Yes.
You know, when I got your email yesterday, TJ, I was a little nervous, and it was kind of a restless night, and I knew that there was going to be some bad news coming, and I'm accepting it, but I would really appreciate if your mention of these subsequent conversations took place as soon as possible, because I think a lot of my colleagues are probably sharing the nervousness that I'm feeling. And if the plans are already in place, I would really appreciate having those conversations specifically today, if at all possible.
Well, thank you, Bill. I can ask if, you know, how we can do that in a way that is most helpful.
We've all got Zoom, so.
Yeah. So I can't make a commitment to that, Bill, as we speak right now, but certainly the spirit of your request is, that everybody wants to know the impact personally. And we are really sensitive to that. I would trust that with the help of Freddie and other academic leadership, we can make sure that those conversations happen as quickly as possible. That's the most honest I could be right now, Bill.
I think the most frustrating thing about being at Finlandia is the lack of communication, and just we start throwing things on people last minute, and we're so reactive instead of proactive. And for me personally, it's frustrating watching, you know, as Cindy had said, watching people that have spent a lot of time here, and for no leader to step up and be like, you know what, this is on me. This is my bad. I need to take care of my people. The people that work for me come first. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there, to make sure that I'm communicating fully and being transparent. I think that there's a lot of circle talking and there's no work. And I know that if I'm a coach and we're consistently having losing seasons, I'm going to just say, you know what? I'm going to step down. Obviously, I'm not doing the job that I need to do to protect my kids, to protect this program, and I'm not being the leader that I need to be. So maybe it's my time to step down. And I'm just saying this, PJ, because it's frustrating when you're dealing with people's livelihoods and you're dealing with people's families, and that the communication is not being said, and leaders don't push this on anybody else. They take it upon themselves and they say, I'm holding myself accountable, and that's what's happening. And that, I maybe this is unprofessional, but at the same time, it needs to be said, and I'm not going to dance around anything, because I know as a coach, that's how I would want to be coached, and that's what leaders do. So I'm just here as a frustrated employee. And I'm speaking for these people that have been working here and digging and in the trenches and doing whatever they can to fight and taking pay cuts, and now they don't have a 401k, and it's so frustrating. And not once have you said, this is my bad.
Well, Mariah, I'm grateful for your comment. Let me be very clear that I take full responsibility for the direction of the university. If in our relationship together, Mariah, there have been opportunities for me to step forward and speak openly, honestly about being accountable to the learning community, and didn't do that, then I apologize. I'm not going to rehearse any more than that, but to simply then use this opportunity, Mariah, to say to you and to everybody in the room that absolutely this is on me. This is a reflection of the leadership that I provide, and I will continue to do the very best that I can to see Finlandia advance its mission. And, I just regret, Mariah, that your experience with me has been such that you have not found my leadership to be both a blend of humility and resolve, and that in that humility I have not at appropriate times said to the community, this is my responsibility. We are here during my leadership, and I take full responsibility. And I believe that the work that we're doing now together is what we need to do. It's my best foot forward, Mariah, to lead us through this. And along the way, I'm hoping that there's opportunities for me to engage with faculty and staff in ways that I can lead in deepest humility and say, I regret that in my presidency we find ourselves here. Absolutely. And so I will be mindful of that, Mariah. And I appreciate the comment. Any other comments?
Just a quick question. My staff are all hourly people. Are they going to be impacted by this too?
Gary and Karen?
No, those are contracted wages through the end of the year, Tim. If we need to make any changes, those would need to be negotiated.
Thanks for the question, Tim. Other questions? Comments?
Did anyone see my question in the chat room about if these cuts could be made in a way that those of us who are already in the system and it's smoothed out, that we could continue with some unemployment benefit to help offset the personal difficulties?
Dave, I can answer that. The problem being is that $600 goes away next week. So the maximum benefit, it looks like right now, is $362 a week before taxes. I am following along with the federal government. If they issue another expansion beyond that, maybe that's something we could look at. But right now, the benefit would just be that before taxes.
But I understand that is more than zero, though.
Well, I know, but people's wages are not being moved to zero, so.
Right, but I'm saying to supplement our 5% loss.
Like a work share type of thing?
I'm not sure how, I don't speak HR well, but.
I think I follow you to cover the gap. That isn't really what the unemployment covers right now. It's for lack of work. It's like we aren't at work, so it doesn't cover cuts in pay, from my understanding. But that's a really good question, Dave.
All right. I hope we will explore all the options just to make sure that we're not missing a chance at some benefit.
Yep. I've been trying.
Thank you, Dave. But to the larger piece, your question is that there isn't a morning when we sit down, at least with my team, and I'm sure there are others across campus, where our morning reviews don't include a scan of everything that's out there related to changes in federal assistance, state assistance, unemployment assistance. So we'll stay on top of that, Dave. Any other questions or comments?
For employees who fall below the required salary level to be at the salary level instead of hourly wages, does that mean that they have to go back to the hourly?
Olivia, that's actually for overtime. We had made those big adjustments based on the federal guidelines back in January, and those folks will be held where they are.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? I'll take a little extra time. We have other things that will go. The document has some other pieces to it, and we'll walk through those. But so if we continue down the document, I just want to encourage anybody that has any question related to whatever we're reading at the time, or it goes back to something previous, or goes to something else entirely. Just please speak up. CARES Act and other federal support. The reason benefits received through federal assistance such as CARES Act funding and the Paycheck Protection Program provided essential financial support needed to help us through June 30, the fiscal year end. These funds are also being used for costs related to preparations for safe living and learning on campus this coming fall. These funds, however, do not fundamentally change our precarious financial situation. Moreover, their critical short-term benefits will be squandered unless we continue to act in ways that can make a more enduring difference. And we have acted, and we have started to make a difference. Spring and summer 2020, the summer furloughs and pay cuts by staff and administration will save approximately $330,000. These sacrifices played an important role in Finlandia achieving a positive net revenue for our most recent fiscal year end. By achieving this result, Finlandia's composite financial ratio score, a score used by lenders, accreditors, and federal government, is significantly improved. This improvement positively impacts our relationship with potential lenders, our regional accreditors, and the Department of Education. I realize that's a pretty dense little paragraph there, and some might find it more helpful than others, but I include it intentionally because I want us to understand that the sacrifices that we made even up to this point have a ripple effect positively that need to be mentioned. Second bullet, additionally, at fiscal year end, again, June 30th, due to actions related to furloughs and reductions in operating costs and spending, our accounts payable is current. This achievement eliminates undesirable stresses in vendor relations. This is especially true for our local and historic vendors. I realize with everybody in the room that a current accounts payable seems like that ought to be that's not a news item. It is, though, for Finlandia. And so I wanted to mention that because, again, it speaks to the impact that sacrifices made this summer have had on
That's
our
fantastic.
Current posture. Thank you, Neil. We cannot, however, ultimately cut our way to success. This spring and summer, we continue to invest for growth. Our College of Health Sciences renovations remain on track for completion this fall. Our new student center and eSports arena in Mannerheim Central is also moving forward, scheduled for completion in the fall. Finlandia Center for Vocation and Career continues to prepare for its new space this coming fall. And deferred maintenance in Paavo Nurmi will be completed this summer, painting of the ceiling and the walls and a new paint design and finish on our competition floor. In addition to facilities and programs, we are funding vacated or new faculty and staff positions that correspond to strategic commitments and position Finlandia for growth in fall 2021. These include, but are not limited to, hires in the health sciences, business, and student success. Finlandia does not anticipate a substantially positive change in its revenue forecast over the coming months. However, should this happen, we will prioritize and restore funding in the current year as we are able. And priority will be given to restoration of payroll. And then finally, for the reading and then for conversation and questions, comments, fall 2021. A successful fall 2021 can only now be in view because of our actions and sacrifices we made this summer, because of our rigorous planning for a safe return to campus this fall, and because of the shared sacrifices we make now. So are there comments or questions related to these thoughts?
I was just wondering, is this based off a certain enrollment goal, these cuts? And if we fall short or above, and it sounds like if we go above, something might be done, but if we fall short from what these goals were based off of, could there be additional cuts?
So let's start with the latter, because that's really the important one. Yes, Brad, it's, if we fall short of enrollment projections, we will have to find a way through the fiscal year that are beyond what this current budget allows for. So here's what we've done. In front of the board are three scenarios. And what I'd like to do next week as part of our conversation is present those scenarios to the room so that all of us can get a sense for what the board has been looking at and get a sense for your latter question, Brad. What does that look like? And so we have scenario one is the current budget that we've just been reviewing together. Current scenario two is further reductions that take us beyond the 20% reduction. And one of the exercises we did, Brad, was to simply take our enrollment as it existed on Monday. And we said, let's assume that we do not net anything more than we have today. What does that look like? We felt that was a rather conservative scenario to build for the board. And so they've looked at that. And then we went to a third scenario, Brad, that goes beyond those projections and looks not only at a reduction for the fall semester, but a reduction again in the spring. And so we do have those scenarios. We do know what the requirements are in terms of increased revenues or expenditure reductions. So those are in place, Brad, and I, as I'm thinking now, it would be good for us to review those together next week. What was the first part of your question, Brad?
If we get more admissions, I think.
Yes, of course. And I think that was the intention of, you know, this last bullet in the just above fall 2021, that if there is a positive change, we will certainly do everything we possibly can to restore and giving priority to payroll. That's as much as I could say today on that. But your question, Brad, leads us to an update from Anthony on where we stand in terms of enrollment, and then we can. But I don't want to go there. It's a good segue, actually, Brad. But so we'll hold that until we know that other questions or comments related to this discussion are complete.
I do have a question that kind of piggybacks onto your answer for Brad. So the scenario that you were speaking about, that it was if we just had the admissions that we have today, moving forward, how does that increase the 20% across the board cut? What does that jump percentage-wise up to?
Well, the way that we've so the loss, let me start with that, Denise. The loss would be $680,000. Mm-hmm. And so in the very kind of introductory way that we have looked at that scenario, we are able to still see a way through the academic year, even to the fiscal year, by looking at non-payroll levers. But we know, Denise, that if we don't make some adjustments, we would not be acting prudently, because the risks are just that much increased. I think that will make a little bit more sense when we look at those next week. Any others?
Maybe this is for next week, but just when you said a 20% reduction with the current budget cuts, what is that number? Like, where are we planning that? Is that like a 420 area, or like,
right,
what is the enrollment number we're saying that we have to be at to reach that?
Yeah, so the headcount is 423, so it's no more than we had last fall. And the FTE number is 386. And my team will correct me if I'm wrong on the FTE. So it's level.